Welcome to another edition of the That's So Cincinnati podcast. We're back after a week or so of vacation-related break. I'm with this week's special guest host, Keith Pandolfi. How are you, Keith?
I'm doing good, Burl. Thanks for having me on.
You're probably wondering why I'm having you on, right?
Kind of.
Well, there's been a lot of food news. You've been a crankmeister, just cranking out all of this copy about restaurants lately.
I got to earn my keep.
Right? You know? But I thought it would be great because you have recently done a feature story on diners in Cincinnati.
Yes.
Which leads us, and you follow this. This is going to be a little journey I'm going to take you on now and our listeners. People don't think of Cincinnati necessarily as a destination for diners like you would a city like New York or Chicago or something like that. But we have them, and a few of them are Greek-owned diners, which will lead to our special guests on this week's podcast, and that is, you're wondering who it is, Keith, aren't you?
Come on, man. Don't leave me hanging. Who?
It is Paniyiri Greek Festival Week. So as our special guests, we have a couple organizers of the festival for this year, the 50th Greek Festival in Cincinnati, if you can believe that.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to bring on shortly Pete Rodish, good friend of mine, and Kathy Stavros, another good friend of mine, because as you might know from previous podcasts, I'm somewhat involved in the Greek community here. I've been a longtime festival volunteer. So full disclosure, these are my people, Keith.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
But what better way to tee up a discussion on the Paniyiri Greek Festival, which is known for its food, with just hitting a few highlights from food-related news that you are all over. But let's start with those diners.
Okay.
Give me what made you think that you need to write about diners?
I am a big fan of diners. As you may know, I lived in New York for about 16 years, and I would always find myself at these great little diners that were all over Brooklyn and Manhattan. And a lot of them were Greek-owned. Little did I know when I moved back to Cincinnati that many of the diners here are also Greek-owned. I grew up on the east side of Cincinnati over in Anderson Township, where we did not have any Greek-owned diners. But
no, in our era, growing up, all the Greeks were on the west side.
Yes, and that is where I found some of my favorites. One of them is Santorini Diner, which is in Cheviot. Cheviot, right?
Right.
Cheviot.
Chevois.
And just a wonderful diner. Feels very old school. It could be right in the middle of New York. They have this Greek pizza that I love so much. And then they just have a standard breakfast. You go in there, it's a bunch of regulars sitting around. And one thing I've realized is that if a diner has a Cincinnati chili recipe of their own, that is a Greek diner.
I think that is the leading indicator for sure.
Yeah.
Because it's not just Skyline and Gold Star
and
Dixie. There's so many mom and pop, true mom and pop Greek restaurants, whether you would call them a diner or not. That don't really serve a lot of Greek food, but have chili or at least have something.
They will have some Greek specialties on the menu. They'll have a Greek omelet almost every time.
Oh, yeah.
But I really encourage people to go to these places and try their chili. Order just a bowl just so you can compare and contrast it with your favorite chili parlor, whether that's Camp Washington or Skyline or Gold Star. Another great Greek diner, you probably don't know this is a Greek diner, but it's a Blue Jay restaurant in Northside. They also have their three ways and four ways in chili, and it is the platonic ideal of a diner. It looks like something out of Twin Peaks.
Okay.
It is
somewhat dated decor, probably.
Very dated decor. Very dated decor, but in the best way possible.
Yeah. It's so dated that it's hip again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, that's how long they've been around. They are hip again. This is one that I just discovered because somebody in the office mentioned it, is over in Colerain, and is called the PNS Family Diner. They have a fantastic chili, but what I would also recommend there is they have the best, it's a ham and bean soup, and it's this really smoky, wonderful soup, and it's just one of the best things I've eaten in a long time. This one was opened by a Macedonian couple so many years ago, and it's still family owned. So I would recommend that too.
So if you want to check some of these places out and get all the details, of course, go to cincinnati.com. Pretty easy to find. But like I said, it seems like this has been a robust phase of food-related news. Let's touch on how the James Beard nominations fared. Not too good.
No, once again, we were shut out from the Beard Awards. And once again, our two finalists, Mike Stankovich and David Jackman, lost to restaurant folks from Chicago and New York. And I've been saying for many, many years that Chicago needs to get its own category because it is just ridiculous that we have to go up against cities like Milwaukee or Indianapolis or Columbus and Cincinnati. I have to go up against Chicago every year. The Beards are in Chicago. Everybody knows the restaurants in Chicago. They get all sorts of buzz that we do not. So I think it's
not
pretty...
Not that you have strong feelings about this.
I have very strong feelings about this.
Well, you are a James Beard winner, we should say.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'm not going to criticize him too much.
I would say that you have credibility in this area.
Yes.
And last year, the same thing. We had, two or three nominees last year? One was Nolia.
Nolia was up for semifinalist, didn't make it to the finalist round. The year before that we had five finalists, I believe. Or no, four finalists.
Yeah.
And that was one of our best years. I will say, the great thing is we're finalists now. We used to never make it to the finalist round. And now we're seeing that. That's becoming kind of common. So that's big for us. We're also getting a lot more media attention. I know that people from the New York Times and Food and Wine Magazine and other publications have been here recently. So we're on the map.
Now, when these other publications come to town, do they reach out to you to get the lay of the land?
Sometimes they do. Sometimes I know the person from when I was working in New York. The New York Times critic, one of the critics was in town, and we went to a couple restaurants together. And it's always fascinating because I don't really know any other food critics in Cincinnati, to sit with one and see how they react to food that I've praised or found underwhelming or whatever, and see what their takes are.
Fascinating.
Yes.
All right. And on a sad note, in terms of food news, we today learned that Matula Gregory, one of the founders of the Montgomery Inn with her husband, the late Ted Gregory, passed away. We're recording on a Tuesday, so I believe it was sometime Monday. She died at the age of 97. And we were talking before we started recording that while many people still associate the Montgomery Inn with Ted Gregory, the Ribs King, who wore a crown and the cigar, always with a cigar, the true front man, right? The true restaurant front man.
Yeah.
It was Matula who came up with the now famous recipe for the barbecue sauce.
Yeah. I talked to the family today. They told me that Ted and Matula used to go down to a place called the Rib Pit down in downtown Cincinnati. And Ted loved these ribs so much that he asked Matula if she could make them one night at the bar that they owned, the Montgomery Inn, which back then was serving double-deckers and burgers. So she came up with this recipe for the sauce and for the ribs that she kind of... I don't know how she did it, but she did it in one night and served them the next day to some of his friends, and they loved them, and that rest is history. It all started right there. I think it was around 1959 that they started serving the ribs there. So she was very much behind the scenes. She was much more comfortable being in the kitchen, overseeing what was going on there, than being out front. But you know, when Ted became pretty famous and was hanging out with Bob Hope and all the presidents were, coming in, she was right there alongside him, and they were quite a force in this city, and she'll be missed.
That is true. There's so many stories about Ted. His sons now have taken over the restaurants. Dean with the boathouse, and Tom Gregory at the OG, the original Montgomery Inn. Talking to the sons over the past few years, even though Matula was, you know, going through some health issues and things like that, always asked about how the store, how are things at the store? Yeah. How's business been? Always, you know, like you said, the kind of like behind the scenes person, so caring. But I think a big part of what made the Montgomery Inn so beloved, it's a place, you know, that you could tell it was a family affair, and they considered the guests at their restaurants extensions of their family. So, and I think a lot of that was Matula's influence.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I never got to meet her, but I've heard so many stories about her, and I'm writing a little follow-up now that we'll probably publish tomorrow with some memories from the family that are pretty great.
All right. Well, rest in peace, Matula Gregory, the ribs queen.
Can I mention something?
Okay.
Before she was the ribs queen, the family called her the cashmere queen because she had such a love of cashmere that she left her own family restaurant, the sweet shop over in Kennedy Heights, to get a job at Shillitoe's so she could afford cashmere sweaters. So once the cashmere queen turned the rib queen. So
I did not know that.
A little anecdote I learned today.
That is fantastic. Yeah. The cashmere queen. All right. Well, I think it's special guest time. So we are going to shift gears now, and we are going to talk about all things Paniti Greek Festival. Special guest time on the That's So Cincinnati podcast. Here I am. You know, usually I'm not involved with whoever I'm interviewing, but not this time. So I have to do the full disclosure. I'm sitting here with some friends. I'm sitting here with some co-volunteers who are this week going to stage probably one of the biggest Greek festivals in the Midwest, if not the nation, if not the world, the Paniti Greek Festival in Cincinnati. So I'm with Pete Rodas, Kathy Stavros. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Doing great. It's Paniti week. How could we not be doing great?
Always looking forward to this weekend.
All right. So it's the 50th, not the 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm. That's very, it's a technical thing, right? Do you know why?
Yeah, COVID brought a little bit in too. Well, or is there another something else?
No, because if you have a festival, that's festival one, right?
Okay.
Okay. The next year, that's your first anniversary.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the that's why it says the 50th Paniti, not the 50th anniversary Paniti. Yeah.
Right.
Somebody was smart.
Because technically, even during COVID, we did the drive-through.
We did the drive-through.
So, okay.
All right. That. So, Pete, yes. Let's start with you.
Okay.
You've been involved in the festival. You're one of the leadership team members.
Yes, I am.
It is the 50th festival.
It is.
And so I know this is a loaded question because I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What can visitors expect at the festival to mark the 50th?
So, as always, Burl, I think one of the biggest things I tell people is it's like you're going to walk into Greece, right? You're going to walk into Greece the minute you get there, and you're going to have the souvlaki and the gyro, and you're going to have the church tours, and you're going to have live Greek music. This year, we're bringing in a DJ all the way from Greece, one of the top apparently platinum artists, right? So that's going to be
DJ
great.
Tempo,
DJ Master Tempo.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be great and spectacular. And then you walk in, and then you're just going to see all the Greek dinners, the pastitsio, the moussaka, the you know the kafania, and you know we're more about the culture and the heritage and everything. So you know, marking the 50th, we have some fun in front of the church tour or in front of the church as well. There's a little thing going on there. And then you'll have we're bringing out a village salad, the new village salad, the Haraka Tori. I know I'm going to pronounce that off. Harakati salad.
Is he talking about Horiatico?
Horiatico salad.
My brother.
I did it yesterday.
Sorry,
I apologize.
I hope my mom's not going to listen to this.
My yaya would be rolling over and going, hey, come on.
So what
those
makes
are
that?
Some of the big things.
What makes that?
What's that?
What makes that salad?
Well, it's no lettuce, right? It's really a peasant salad, and it's going to be a big thing this year.
Tomatoes and feta, because tomatoes and feta. Mo feta, mo betta.
Everything's better with motto. Feta. Kalamata olives, the cucumbers, the tomatoes, the green peppers, the freshness. And on a day like, you know, in the weekend, that's going to be, people are going to be looking for maybe a little alternative to something that's light and fun and village salad.
All right. So, Kathy, you've been involved. You've been a dancer.
Yeah,
talk about the dancing.
It is a blast. I started dancing. I was taking my children up for dance lessons, and I'm like, I want to do this too. So I joined the adult group and danced for probably 15 years, and it's wonderful. It's great exercise. We're going to have open dancing for everyone so everyone can learn how to dance, but it's great exercise. It's bonding. It's visiting with people. It's showing our culture. I did step down this year because there are quite a bit of younger people wanting to dance, so now I'm going to be a spectator and dancing off stage, but dancing is wonderful.
On Saturday night, it's such a sight because the, you know, there's the dance performance on the stage with the dance groups that we have that you used to be a member of, in very authentic costumes, hot, some of them. I mean, if you're familiar with what's called the Palace Guard in Athens, they wear what's called a fustanella. It's a skirt. It's like the Greek style kilt, right?
Right.
And it's multiple layers of material, and a heavy vest and tights and a wool hat. And I mean, it's going to be pretty warm. But once those performances are over, everyone that's there is invited. The whole crowd is up dancing around the stage, live music. You're right. It does feel like you're in Athens.
If I could say something to that point, it does. It's Panaitis, loosely translated, right? Festival for everyone. And I got to tell you, a lot of times we'll step out and just look at the crowd and see that everybody is just having a great time, and they know nothing about Greek dancing, but yet somehow they're up doing it that they've never done before. And how cool is that? I'll talk to people that are in lines, and I'm like, hey, we're trying to move the line because we have a lot of people there, and they're like, you know what? This is awesome. Doesn't matter.
So I'm going to date myself. I was not at the first Panaiti. My family moved to Cincinnati in 1977. Mm-hmm. So I believe our first was the third Panaiti.
Oh, wow.
And it has grown. I mean, the dancing was done on the small parking lot that we had in the back of the church with like a little roped off area. So there was no giant stage. And it started as a modest church festival. There were lots of church festivals, especially, you can't, as my dad might say, this is going to be horrible, but swing a dead cat without hitting a church in Cincinnati, right? And everybody had a church festival. And that's what the Panaiti started as, just another church festival. Mm-hmm. But over the years, it truly became a festival for the whole city to celebrate Greek culture. And for me, when I moved to Cincinnati, my mom, she's right off the boat, right? My dad's American, my mom is Greek, so I'm the son of a Greek immigrant. And before we moved to Cincinnati, I've kind of felt different. You know, you're like 10 years old and you're starting to like be self-conscious. When we came to Cincinnati and plugged into the Greek community, I didn't feel alone anymore. Like there were so many people, and it's this passing on the tradition. So you talk about teaching your children how to Greek dance, and you talk about the food and the recipes. And I remember, so I was in your shoes, Pete, in 1999 or 2000 when we had the 25th. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. And we were remarking about how much the festival had grown. So I understand you have a big job, but it's even bigger now. And I think at the kickoff today at Fountain Square, we're recording this on a Tuesday. One of the founding chairpersons, Gus Pridikakis, said, we are now the biggest church festival, which is pretty amazing, right, from those humble beginnings. But talk about your own experiences being part of the Greek community and what the festival means.
You hit it right there, Burl, like being part of a community. So, and we're a little different, right, where we come from all over. Like, a lot of people in the West Side, Northern Kentucky, they have their local churches, right? And it's within a few square miles. we are Greater Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, Southeast Indiana. So if you think about that, right?
If you are Eastern Orthodox, and this is more true back then, there have been some smaller other ethnic Orthodox churches that have popped up. But for a while, the Greek Orthodox Church was the only Eastern Orthodox Church. So it didn't matter if you were Russian or Syrian, or, you know, you came here from Ethiopia to escape civil war and you were Orthodox, you ended up coming from all over the city to attend church there.
Yeah, it is truly a big community. It's a very proud community. And, you know, one of the things about the festival and about everything that we do is we love to invite the city in. Right, we love to invite the people in to see what we do, to tour our church, and to taste our foods and the culture and everything else that we do.
I totally agree with that. My family looks forward to this every year. I mean, for when they could walk, they were up there dancing on the stage with Miss Cookie and continue to dance today. And we look forward every year to getting out there and volunteering. And this year I'm excited that I'm doing a cooking demonstration with my daughter. We've never done that before.
So what are you cooking?
We are cooking spanakopita, which is a spinach and cheese phyllo dish, and the traditional kudalakia, which is a traditionally an Easter cookie, but really growing up, that's what everyone was served when you went to a Greek family. It's a butter twist cookie. So my daughter and I grew up making those, and when we were asked to do the cookie demonstration, that made perfect sense to make those too. So we're looking forward to that. Cooking demonstrations, we have them all weekend long. So excited to do that with her.
So if you like the food at the Paniti and you want to make it at home, go to Kathy's cooking demo.
That's it. Very simple recipe, I promise. It's a good, easy recipe, and we'll be there at 9:15 Friday night, but we have cooking demonstrations all weekend.
You know, when you said kulurakia, it made me think, my poor father, you know, he's the American in the family, and we've been, you know, he has not picked up a lot of, he's picked up some Greek, but he still struggles a little bit. So your attempt to say horiatiko may crack me up, because we have tried to get my dad to, over the years, to say kulurakia. Now it's a mental block. He can't say it. But we'll break it down. We'll be like, repeat after me. Ku. Go ahead, Pete.
Ku.
Lu.
Lu.
Rakia.
Rakia.
Now put it all together. Kulurakia.
Kulurakia.
It's like my dad. He's like, kulawogla.
What?
But the point is, you don't have to pronounce it properly. You just point to it at the festival. So let's get into the brass tacks. Like,
yes,
if I'm going to the festival, how do I navigate it? What do I need to go to do? Let's start with parking, because that's always a thing in Cincinnati. People are like, oh, I don't want to come downtown because it's so hard to park. Where do you park?
This is about as easy as it gets. There's no parking on campus. You're going to park at St. Xavier High School, and it's free parking, and they're going to shuttle you right to the front door. And then when you're finished, they're going to shuttle you right back to your car.
And the buses run every 15 minutes.
They run all the time. So that is honestly, like, some people have a lot of problems with parking. That is the least of the things that you need to worry
about.
And
what's interesting, too, the Paniti's become a fundraiser for other churches around.
Yeah.
Because they, if you want to pay for parking, you can go to St. Vivian's. They charge for parking, and you can walk down. So there are many, many options.
Right.
All right, so it opens Friday. When should I show up Friday if I'm going to go on Friday?
We open at 5 o'clock.
Right.
So
right. Just in time for dinner?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would say it all depends on what you're looking for, right? So I would say if you want to grab something to eat real quick and before the crowds start coming, I would say the earlier the better coming then. But if you're, you know, we want to go out with our friends and we want to go to an event that we've not been to or that we love to go to, then, you know, come a little bit later, because the music does start to crank up a little bit, although it's going all the time.
And it becomes a party.
And then it becomes a little bit of a party. I think the earlier you come sometimes, that gives you an opportunity to see the cultural exhibits, to do the church tour, which, by the way, is absolutely amazing. And then it gives you time to relax and maybe enjoy a beverage at the Taverna.
I've noticed that there's, I should count them up, but there's like at least two or three different approaches that I see festival goers do.
Okay.
One is get there early, get in line, or get before the lines, get your pastries, get your food, and get the heck out. You know, then there's the people that roll in, they can't wait to go to the Taverna, maybe get a bottle of wine, walk around, listen to the music, just chill and have a good time. And then the last one is the people that show up Sunday, because Sunday is usually the lightest crowd day. Mm-hmm. And that's when either it's you got to roll the dice a little bit, because maybe some of the food has run out. But sometimes that's the best time to get it. So it's just I think it's depending what kind of vibe you're going after.
Yeah, depending on the crowd, though. If you come there on Sunday, which I think is a little more laid-back day, right? But you can chance the fact that there is some food, and I'm going to tell you, more than likely, some pastries are going
to
run out. Unless Kathy's in the kitchen cooking. Maybe Kathy's got to go back in the kitchen and cook more.
That's it. They've been cooking forever, the ladies and men making all the delicious, delicious desserts. But right. If you know you want something, get it early.
And you mentioned church tours. We should note that last year, or 2 years ago, the church sanctuary was closed because it was in the middle of a renovation, mm-hmm. Installing the last of the mosaic iconography. And so last year was the first time festival goers could see that, and so it should be a highlight for every festival goer to pop in. It's air conditioned, mm-hmm. And see the sanctuary mm-hmm. of the church, right. Which is now completely there. I don't think there's any space left in the ceiling that's not covered with some kind of mosaic iconography.
It doesn't seem like there is.
It's gorgeous. So
it's truly a remarkable structure that pops up in the middle of Finneytown. A authentic Byzantine style Orthodox church.
And I think that's another reason that we love to see people come to our church, because there's one. There's many other churches, right? But we have this one church in the middle of Cincinnati that's absolutely outstanding, and you have to see it.
So church tours, the food, obviously. Did we list all the food? Let's list some of the highlights of the food.
Sure.
So you mentioned gyro. My gosh, you got to see this video with Jimmy Fallon and Luke Bryan. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay. Someone in the audience, live studio audience, has seen it. I'll summarize it. Luke Bryan and Jimmy Fallon are in the streets of New York, and there's a guy selling gyros, right? And Luke Bryan is afraid to order one because he's afraid to pronounce it. And then they bust into songs about how you pronounce the word gyro. But we don't care if you say gyro, gyro, if you roll the R or not. But you got the gyros, you got the souvlaki, which is the grilled meat, shish kebab style.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going around. You've got Greek style pizza. If you've got a kid who goes, I don't want to eat Greek food, we have Cincinnati Skyline Chili there, which is Greek inspired.
And we also have Dixie Chili too this year.
Both?
Bringing in Dixie Chili from last year. They're one of our sponsors, and they're also coming in to do the chili on the Greek fries.
Okay.
Oh, yum.
So we're having both Skyline and Dixie?
Mm-hmm.
Man, you're covering your Kentucky Greeks
yes.
and your Ohio Greeks.
I thought that was
way.
Great, right?
It is.
We
that's
need
awesome.
Some representation.
You mentioned baklava, mm-hmm. which that's, there's, when I was growing up, nobody knew what feta was. Nobody knew what baklava is. Now these are almost like staples, right? But if you want your baklava crunched up and served over ice cream, you can get a baklava sundae.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yes.
Oh, your favorite. Okay, good. What else do we have outside for food?
Oh, the lucumades. Yeah. Those are my favorite.
Oh,
the Greek
yeah.
style donuts.
Yeah, lucumades.
Lucumades. You've got the spanakopita, tzatopitas out there.
It wouldn't be a festival without fried dough.
Fried dough.
And so while you're not going to find a funnel cake, you can get a lucumada.
Right.
And you can have it with the syrup and the cinnamon. I'm getting hungry just talking about
it. We are starting to get hungry.
Yeah.
So in the dinners.
Oh, the dinners,
right? The dinner booth. So some people want to load up, right? So the pastizio, which is loosely translated a Greek lasagna.
Right, yeah.
Right? Moussaka, which is a nice meal. You have the Greek rice, the beans. And I mentioned earlier the village salad. I did it well yesterday on
good.
TV. I'm not going to lie to you. I hit it right on.
It's perfect.
But today, I don't know why. So what was it again?
The Podiatrico salad.
Podiatrico salad. See?
It's like you would authentic, like you get in Greece, because they don't really do many salads with lettuce. So it's like chunks of tomato, olive oil, vinegar, olives, and the feta. Mm-hmm. And it's so refreshing for the summer.
And what about over at Yaya's Mez, right? Mm-hmm. So grandmother's basically hors d'oeuvres, right?
Mezadakia,
small plate.
The saganaki.
flaming cheese.
Yeah.
Are they lighting it on fire?
Yeah.
So true story. If you go to Greece and ask for Saganaki, they're not going to light it on fire unless they are purely catering to American tourists. Do you know why? Do you know the history of flaming cheese?
Actually, I don't.
It's Chicago. The Greeks in Chicago. So there's not a ton of Greeks in Cincinnati. The diaspora was heavy in New York and Chicago, obviously. So there's a Greek town in Chicago, mm-hmm. and there's competing Greek restaurants. And back in the 60s, there was a very entrepreneurial Greek restaurant owner that decided to lure the customers to his restaurant. He would light cheese on fire.
So, I did not know this.
So fried cheese, you take a firm cheese, most often it's kafalotiri, is the name of the cheese. You can get it at Jungle Gyms, mm-hmm. except they, instead of calling it kafalotiri, they put a label on it that says Saganaki, because that's what people are looking for, right? Mm-hmm. It's fried in olive oil, squirt some lemon on it, and it's so good. But to lure the customers over, you put a little brandy on mm-hmm. the cheese to finish it and lit it on fire, and everybody else opa. So then all the other restaurants in Chicago started flambeing their Saganaki, and then it started spreading. But yeah, so I have first cousins who are Greek, and that's one of the things they laugh about. They make fun of Greek Americans all the time because we're our own thing now.
Yeah.
You know, we're not like, it's just taken on a life of its own. And so that's the history of, nice. Of why
I did not know
why
that.
We light up Greek cheese. Yeah. Am I the guest or the
I learned
host
something
today?
New.
You should
I
love
learned something new.
Ask me a question.
I'm going to ask you a question,
right.
Burl, if I can,
yeah,
if
please.
You wouldn't mind.
No.
You were at the third one, right?
Yes.
The third one on a
11
your,
years old.
What's your most favorite memory?
I remember being so jealous that of the dancers because the kids that I had met were all dancing. And we lived in Forest Park, but most of the Greeks at that time lived on the west side. So the only time I really got to see, you know, my friends like, you know, Alex Vitas and his cousins and all those folks, Vic Vitas, would be at church or the festival. And they were all dancing. And I was like, I want to dance. And so that was the biggest memory I have was just FOMO. So, the next year I signed up for dancing, and then we were doing samiko and flips and kicks and all these things that I'd break a hip if I tried to do today. But that's my big memory is the dancing. It was just, like, so cool.
Beautiful.
Yeah. What about you, Kathy?
It's the family affair. You know, it was always the kids and I would go there, and we'd just spend the whole weekend working, eating, inviting our friends and everything. So I think it's just the community spirit, Pete, that you had mentioned earlier, and just being with family.
All right. What about you? What was your first Cincinnati Pun EDP?
You know, I'm trying to remember. It was over probably 20 some odd years ago. And the first booth that I believe I ever worked in was T-shirts, selling T-shirts, right? And I loved it. And that was great. And I'm looking around going like, wow, this is – because, you know, I got travel and whatnot, got away from the church a little bit. And then I remember people talking to me at church going, you know, we plan our vacation around this festival. And we had, my wife and I had worked the T-shirt booth. And then I'm looking around and I'm like, wow, this is absolutely amazing. I want to be a part of this. I want to really be a part of this. And then every year it's just, you know, gotten bigger and more involved, and I want to be a part of it. And then my kids are a part of it, and my son Nick learned how to carve the Euro cone when we were doing the Euro cones.
Oh, yeah.
From
slicing
Alex at Sebastian's, right?
Yeah.
We all had the power ones, and my son, being a purist, is like, no, not for me. And Alex showed him how to slice it right off the cone.
It is an art form.
Yeah, it is an art form.
It is an art form.
Yeah.
Let's round up. I think we got the food covered. We talked about the pastries.
Can I have one thing for the food?
Yeah, yeah.
Fresh Greek chicken.
Yeah.
Greek chicken will be there as well. Okay. So that's going to be super nice. And then, by the way, inside you've got the kafanion, the Greek coffee.
Rice pudding.
With the rice pudding.
Risogolo.
Risotto, yeah.
Okay. And then the cookies, praximata.
Yes, proximali. Oh,
yeah, so there's okay. music inside, too. There's some chill, like, kind of taverna live music inside. You've got vendors, so if you want some Greek swag, everything from jewelry to icons to T-shirts, Greek fisherman hats, I think, all that kind of fun stuff. And the church tours we mentioned. Mm-hmm. There's some fun things to do for the kids.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah, I think we have the caricatures. We have the, I think there's a balloon artist. I think there's face painting. But, you know, I got to tell you, these kids, they love the festival.
Yeah.
I look at the little kids and, like, they're walking around with, you know, maybe a baklava sundae or, you know, whatever it is, and they're just having a great time.
No one's on their machines. No one's on their iPad. Well, no one's on their phone. They're just having fun.
Well, first off, there's so many people there, you can't access them.
Do you remember the first year we tried to do square payments, and we tested it, and it worked, and then all the festival goers went up and like, crushed the network, and we're back to cash. Oh, but that's...
No.
Bringing it up, you can now... We got it slick. It's down pat. You can pay with Apple Pay, even if you need to.
You can pay with Apple Pay, and it is fast.
Fast and furious.
It is fast, and you're able to tip on that as well.
Let's talk about that.
Which, on a highlight...
So, yes. We charge admission.
Mm-hmm.
It's what, $2?
$3 for the day, $5 for a weekend pass, and if you're a family, $10.
And if you tip, your tip goes to support the combined church Orthodox Church ministries called Focus.
Well, it's not only Focus, right? But also we have a community garden
and the
food pantry. So there's a lot that we give back on. We want to make sure that we help feed Cincinnati, help support Cincinnati. So it's a great way of us giving back. So any of the tips are going right to those organizations.
All right. So we got the hours.
We do.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the admission. We've got the food. I think we covered all our bases here.
You know where to park.
We got to talk about wine. We got some great wine.
Oh, the Taverna. Oh, I was going to ask you, are we bringing back, which brewery did the Greek-style lager?
It's Mad Tree.
Are they doing it again?
Yes.
Yes. That's awesome.
It's called Look.
Not Luconic, that's a sausage. Right.
I don't know, you have to come there to find out. I don't know the name is.
It's a Greek-inspired lager.
Yeah, Iconian lager. Mm-hmm. It's brewed for us, mm-hmm. And Mad Tree does this as a special treat. But the Taverna has a few things going on.
Wonderful wines to try, and people that work there are so knowledgeable, and they'll help you out if you want a dry or a white or a red. I'm excited this year. I am working Ouzo Lemonade. I figured I've had so much drinking that over the years that it's time for me to work it. So I'm excited to work the Ouzo Lemonade, and we'll also have just plain lemonade if you do not want Ouzo in it.
And the Greek beers. But the Ouzo Lemonade's a big one.
Yes.
Well, everyone that goes to the Taverna needs to say hi to our good friend, Harry Papathanos.
Yes.
So you can't miss him. That in and of itself is a reason to go to the Paniti, to meet Harry Papathanos.
And he loves picking out the wines and everything for the Taverna.
He's done the Taverna for what? Probably half of the festival's history.
Right.
It's amazing.
He is a connoisseur when it comes to the Greek wines and the Greek beers. And, you know, again, the Taverna's nice. You're just hanging out and it's late. It's laid back, and there's those
high top
tables to just enjoy and just, you know, relax and take it all in.
Well, I was cracking up Sunday. I was actually in church, and Father Mark, at the end of the service, reminded everyone that it was the Paniti Festival and that many hands are needed, many volunteers are needed. And he also said, this is part that cracks me up, because there's that batch of Greeks that come just to hang out and not volunteer. He said, remember, even though it's a big party, we are not the guests. We are the hosts. So we're very excited to host the city and to welcome everybody. Where will we find you? You'll be at the Taverna, Kathy?
I'll be at the Ouzo Lemonade.
Is that part of the Taverna?
No, we're on the opposite side.
Right. Oh, okay.
And I'll be at the cooking demonstrations.
All right. And you're Johnny in charge.
Yeah.
I'm kind of all over, and a walkie-talkie.
We're kind of all over the place, making sure that everybody's having a great time. But it is nothing for a lot of us just to grab an apron and fill in where needed. But we want to make sure that everything is running correctly, that everybody's got the food they need, and whatever we can do to help the patrons make an enjoyable weekend or evening of it is what we're going to do.
All right. It is the 50th Paniti Greek Festival. It is Friday from 5 to 11, Saturday from 3 to 11, and Sunday from 1 to 8.
Yes.
Free parking at St. X High School. everybody should come.
Absolutely.
Opa.
Well, thank you, Kathy.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Peter. We're going to have to work on your pronunciation of that. One more
time. Of the salad?
Yeah. Do it. On the spot.
Horticaki. I don't know why. I was so good yesterday. I don't understand what happened.
It's the pressure he's putting on you.
Horticaki.
No. But oh, yeah, man. My dad's going to feel so validated. He's not alone. All right. Well, thank you, Peter. Thank you, Kathy. And we'll see everybody at the festival. All right. Well, after that conversation, now I'm super hungry. And Keith, you are the food guy. You are the expert. You've been to the Paniti Greek Festival. So here's my question. You have limited time. You're limited to one food item and one dessert at the Greek Festival. What are you going for?
First of all, I love the Greek Festival. I'm not just saying that to kiss up. Big fan of this festival. I only started going when I started working at the Enquirer. I'm going to say that I will go for the Greek pizza every time. Always wonderful. And then the loukoumata, which is like a sweet Greek donut.
Yes. That's a winning combination, I think. So I've always wondered this. And you mentioned earlier about one of the diners featuring a Greek omelet. What makes it a Greek omelet?
Oh, wow.
Like, just throwing feta in an omelet doesn't make it a Greek omelet, I don't think.
I hate to say it. If I see feta, that's good enough. Sure. Feta.
So the same question is, what makes a Greek pizza? Feta, yeah. Feta on it and you call it Greek.
No, what's the spice? The
oregano?
No. There's oregano on it.
Yeah.
You put me on the spot. There's red onion and... Hold on.
Yeah, so the Greek pizza, you can even get it with gyro meat.
Yeah. Of course. The gyro meat on it,
yes, which is fantastic. Like, you can do a lot of things with gyro meat. But yes, I would agree with you. You know, I'm there all weekend, so I have all weekend to like, and I still have to plan my food consumption carefully because I want to get it all in. But yeah, the Greek pizza is great, the souvlaki. Which is the marinated pork on a shish kebab grilled right in front of your eyes is always a good go-to. But yes, so now Cincinnati knows what the premier food writer is going for at the festival. That's your pick, Greek pizza?
Yeah, but now I'm worried the lines are going to be longer. I just ruined the whole festival for myself.
When you show up at a food festival, do they know you're coming? Are you just like, do you know who I am? I'm Keith Pandolfi. They don't like roll out the red carpet and
no. I mean, I was at what's the big German festival last weekend?
Oh gosh,
it's a great festival. I can't remember the name.
Yeah,
of.
The one on the west side.
Yes, Father's Day weekend.
Yeah.
Anyway, no one had any idea. My wife went. You know,
you're incognito.
I was incognito, but they also have really wonderful food there. I think this and the Greek festival, best festival food.
Good.
You could find here.
Good food. All right. Well, should we wrap things up?
I believe so.
All right, here we go. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast, a production of the Enquirer and Cincinnati.com.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please give us a rating and share it with a friend who loves all things Cincinnati.
Finally, if you value local journalism and haven't subscribed for full digital access to Cincinnati.com, now is a great time. Just go to Cincinnati.com and click on the subscribe button to see a special offer for new subscribers.
Thanks again. We'll see you next week.